WEEI Afternoons, and no delay, right to the guest line. We'll talk to Mark Schlereth. We are joined by the Odyssey NFL insider and host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And our insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, how are we doing this week?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're great. You know, we're advancing in the postseason, and I know this sounds like we're entitled, but it's been a little bit of a while since we won a playoff game around here. So, you know, it's nice to advance and have another one to look forward to on Sunday. So I'm going to start there because there's a lot of NFL news. It was a crazy weekend of football. There's a lot of that we need to get to. But I want to look at the specifics, and I think your area of expertise. Patriots won the game 16-3. But Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, their rookie offensive linemen, probably had their worst game of the season. Drake May was under duress, sacked five times, couple fumbles. And now they're going to prepare for the Houston Texans and that pass rush, which is as good as any in the National Football League. Do you think in the course of a week that Doug Marrone and Josh McDaniels can coach up Will Campbell and Jared Wilson to be good enough to face this pass rush? Or do they almost need to say, we're going to have to game plan around it? We can't block those guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody can block those. There's not a team in the league that can block those guys one-on-one. Like, you look at Will Campbell, as good as that guy is, Danielle Hunter is the most underrated player in the National Football League. I mean, he's unblockable right now. And he's in year 11 and is, I mean, just killing people. So, you know, that comes down to, and you guys have the value or have the ability to have a guy in Josh McDaniels that understands offensive football as well as anybody in the National Football League. And pass protection comes down to not just the guys you have up front. More importantly, it comes to the guy you have calling plays and how you give your offensive lineman an opportunity to not be passive. I always talk to teams about taking the passive out of pass protection. And so that comes to how you call a game, how you run the football, how you set up screens, how you invite guys up the field and then throw a screen behind them, how you trap guys that are big-time penetrators. You know, there's all kinds of different ways to do it. The problem is that when you get into a situation where you've got to throw the ball or you're not doing those things, and you've got to, you know, you've got to throw it on a consistent basis. I always think about you got to throw it when you want to throw it, not when you have to throw it. If you got to throw it when you have to throw it, then you're in trouble, especially against a team like Houston. So that's going to come down to Josh McDaniels, and you're not going to completely shut out the Houston Texans because they're that freaking good. And so you just have to manage the potential, you know, disasters. And listen, I will tell you this about the Chargers. The Chargers are a dynamic front, and they do a great job of attacking protections. And that's like that to me is who they are. So they're not an easy throwaway task when it comes to blocking those guys. So, you know, you certainly have your work cut out for you, no question about it. But, you know, I have a lot of faith in Josh and his ability to call plays. And then I have a lot of faith that Drake is going to make a play when he has to make a play like he did at the end of the first half there for that big scramble.
Yeah, I'm with you, Stink. I think the name Josh McDaniels might be the most important one for the New England Patriots and in Pats Nation leading up to Sunday at 3 o'clock. But as far as how the game's going to go, what did you think of the aggressive style of play from New England's defense, and were you pleasantly surprised at how aggressive, nasty, and physically they played at Sunday?
Yeah, I got a chance to do a couple of Patriots games, and you know, they don't have necessarily like a named pass rusher off the edge, but I just think they are hard. They mimic the style and the aggressiveness of their head coach, and they are solid. They do a great job of defending the run, taking on double teams, and they've got enough of a presence, enough of if you give them a bunch of one-on-one, somebody's going to win. And so I went back, I was impressed with them in the games that I did watching their front seven, the way they play, the aggressive style with which they play. So I thought that was great. The Idaho kid, Christian Ellis, was unbelievable, scrambling around, knocking down Justin Herbert, doing some of those things. So I loved what I saw from them, but that's what I saw all season long. You know, I think from a national media perspective, and I said this about the Denver Broncos a year ago, a year ago, they had come out and said, hey, the Broncos had the 30th best roster, the 31st. This is all the national publications. And I'm like, just because you don't know the names of the guys that play for the Broncos doesn't mean they don't have great players. And I go, that whole survey was absolute garbage. And just because the national media doesn't know the names of some of the players that play for the New England Patriots doesn't mean they don't have great players. They do. And I was really impressed. I mean, they, you know, obviously the Chargers have some issues with their offensive line they've had all season long, but at the end of that game, in the fourth quarter, I felt like Rocky, you know, throwing the towel. You know, it just felt like, I felt bad for Justin Herbert. Like, he's going to die. He is going to get killed, you know, down there, because they were just demolishing him. And so I just thought they were exceptional. And the other thing to me is, you know, the six sacks or whatever, the constant pressure. It tells me also in the back end, guys weren't, and I haven't watched the coaches' film yet, but guys weren't getting open, you know, and guys were not shaking loose. And so that's why you end up having to hold the ball. So I think a really great performance, a dominant performance by the New England Patriots.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. In light of what you just said about sort of those ignorant takes from afar, I have a developing what may be ignorant take, and I want you to tell me if I'm crazy. So I watched all the football this weekend, and there was some weird games, comebacks. The team that was leading at the 2-minute mark wasn't winning any of the games. You know, a lot of teams played a half of good football, but then another half that wasn't great. Is this one of the worst fields we've seen in recent playoff memory? Is this not maybe a marquee postseason? Doesn't mean it can't be competitive and entertaining, but is the quality of play not as good?
I just think that the NFL has pushed itself into this parity is everything and everybody's going to have a chance. And I think they've achieved it. And I think there's a lot, like there's not one team that is a completely dominant team that doesn't have a fatal flaw. You know, in Seattle, everybody's saying now, hey, Seattle's the best team in football. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, do you trust Sam Darnold? Do you trust this offense on a consistent basis? And the answer would be no, not really. But their defense is dominant, you know, and you go through the Rams. I thought the Rams for a while there were the best team in football. But and then you see them get a 14-0 lead and basically choke it back to the Carolina Panthers, who are not, I mean, called six Panther games. They're not a very good team. And so, you know, like, everybody is fatally flawed. I think Buffalo, you look at Josh Allen, as good as he is, I think this is the worst team he's been around that he's had since he's been in the playoffs. So there's a lot of fatal flaws. It makes it for entertaining football. There's no question about that. But there is not that one dominant team that if that team got beat, you go, oh, wow, what a huge upset that is. It doesn't exist.
So with all of the coaching changes, it's kind of almost hard to believe, Stink, that there are 9 availabilities and 9 openings right now following the Mike Tomlin news, which just broke about a half an hour ago. Which one would you want to jump on most, or what do you think would be the most attractive situation in the NFL?
Yeah, I think right now it's the Ravens because I think they have the best chance or the best roster with a 2-time MVP quarterback. And, you know, I said this earlier, I think John Harbaugh is going to have the pick of the litter from the coaching, you know, from a coaching tree standpoint. Obviously, he's not going back to Baltimore. But now Pittsburgh being open, there's a lot of attractive jobs out there from a job security standpoint. I mean, you know, it's been the Pittsburgh Steelers, hey, you know, 3 coaches in 200 years, you know, whatever it is. but you know, I mean, you know, you're going to get a chance to implement kind of your culture and your program and all those things in Pittsburgh. So that'll be that's a really interesting job opening to me. And then there's a bunch of teams out there. I think Atlanta's a really talented team. I think that's got to be on the top of a lot of people's lists. And then there are the historic teams that you look at, like Arizona, and you're in that division with Seattle, with San Francisco, with the Rams, who all have, you know, coaches that look like the real deals and are well-run organizations, you know, structurally with their GMs and their head coaches being on the same page. And then you've got, you know, the Arizona Cardinals. Like, I mean, what are the odds of you coming in and competing in that division and turning that thing around? But, you know, we've seen it. We've seen it with Liam Cohen, what he did in Jacksonville. We've seen it right there in New England with what the right coach can do, you know, coupled with making the right moves in free agency in the draft and how quickly things can turn around. And they certainly have done that in New England. It's been a cool story to watch.
Is that why we're getting more of these openings? I mean, in the last 2 years alone, we've basically had – Bill Belichick fired, Pete Carroll fired twice, John Harbaugh fired, Mike Tomlin steps down. That's a lot of years of experience and coaching and stability that teams are moving on from. Is it that sort of get rich quick that we're seeing? You know, the Chicago's, the Jacksonville's, the New England's, these owners are getting greedy. They want quick turnarounds and instant success.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is just be really careful about first-time head coaches. Like, Mike Vrabel's not a first-time head coach, and he went out there and put a great staff together, and I think that's really important. And you know, I've talked to a bunch of GMs here recently in the last week, guys that are friends of mine, and one of the big issues with hiring a new coach is being able to put a staff together. And what you have to be able to do is you have to be able to, you know, rip the Band-Aid off quickly. So if you put a staff together and it's not the right staff in that first year, you got to be able to say, hey, man, we love this head coach. Look at Seattle. We love the head coach, but this college offensive coordinator that we hired is not the right guy. Rip the Band-Aid off, insert Clint Kubiak. We are the number one seed. So you got to be able to be very nimble. You can't be a big cruise liner. You got to be a motorboat, right? You got to be able to kind of zip in and out and change things on the fly. And I think that's a really important thing. But the GMs that I've talked to, very, very leery about first-time head coaches because first-time head coaches don't have necessarily the connections to put a really good staff together. And so that becomes a big part of the issue that you get into in the hiring process.
Yeah, not everybody can be McVay. Sometimes you get a Mayo, and you saw how that went last year in New England. But here we are with Vrabel. So, all right, Mayan, last one. What do you see this weekend? You want to give us how you see the four games playing out real quick?
Yeah, I can do that. I think the first game, you know, the Broncos, Buffalo. Listen, I hope the Broncos win this thing. I think they can win this thing. Buffalo defensively are not very good. You've got to be able to run the ball. You look at Jacksonville, and I don't know why they got into this, but Jacksonville had between their two running backs had 14 carries and averaged over 8 yards a carry, and you only gave it to your running backs 14 times. And it almost was like, hey, we're going to prove that, you know, Trevor Lawrence can out-duel Josh Allen. Stupid. Just a dumb decision. And so that one perplexed me a little bit. Broncos aren't a great running team, but the Bills defense is not very good. You're going to have to control the tempo and run the ball. If they can do that, I think they win. The X factor is, you know, Josh, you guys know, you watch him twice a year. He can make some ridiculous plays. And if you give him an opportunity at the end of a game to do that, you know, odds are it's not going to end up in your favor. But I'll take the Broncos just because I'm a homer and I live here and I'm going to the game. I just think Seattle's a much more physical defense. I think all the injuries with the 49ers will finally catch up to the 49ers. Even though I've known Kyle Shanahan since he was like 12 years old, I'll still take Seattle. I think they're a better football team. I like the Rams beating Chicago. I keep betting against Chicago. I keep betting against Caleb Williams. Something about Caleb Williams, though, being able to be your best when your best is required. He can play where it looks like, God, I think they had 6 first downs in the first half last weekend. 6. And then all of a sudden they end with 24 and he goes crazy in the second half and making, you know, 4th-and-8 conversion and all those kind of things. I still think the Rams are just an overall better football team. And what's our last game that I'm missing?
Yeah, you might know Houston and New England Sunday.
Oh, Houston, yeah, it's just you guys. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'll take just because I love you guys so much. I'll take Houston 45-10.
Oh, no,
I've just busted balls. I think it'll be close. Listen, man, I don't think. I think this defense is really good. This Houston defense is, as you guys know, I think it's the best in football. But man, I'm concerned about the way CJ Stroud has played. And I'm concerned about that offense. I'll take just because I love you guys, I'm going to take New England in a tight one. I'm going to call it 17-16 New England.
Why does it feel like if I listen to your podcast or if you do a hit in Houston, I might find a different prediction for that game?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I meant 17-16 Houston.
Way to cover your bases. You know
what? Yeah, right. I've got to do something, man. I tell you what, you guys know, you watched that game last night, man. The Houston Texans defense is for real.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that for the next 4 or 5 days leading up to this game against Will Campbell and Drake May. But we appreciate your time this week, Mark, and hopefully it's another good weekend of football. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, bud.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Fitzy, when we come back, we got to talk about that. I know he wanted to pick the Texans. I also think it's interesting that a guy from Denver who'll be at the Broncos game this weekend said the best defense in football is the Houston Texans, and they are coming to Gillette Stadium on Sunday. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll also touch on the Boston Celtics with a bad loss last night. No JB, major problems. Celtics lose to the Pacers. That's up next here on WEEI.